show. Week 16 final calls. New York Football Giants. Week 16 versus the St. Louis Rams. This podcast will be focused on the New York Football Giants versus the St. Louis Rams with the Bleed Blue Show crew only. We will be not taking live calls on this private podcast for the viewing, for the listening audience. We'll discuss the New York Football Giants victory, the good, the bad, and the ugly with Week 16 versus the St. Louis Rams. Our final thoughts, and then also on to Week 17, our final game versus the Philadelphia Eagles. Joseph, what's going on?
Good evening, Steve. Merry Christmas.
Hey, yeah, Merry Christmas to you, man. How you doing?
I'm all right. I'm good. Just chilling out, just being the dog. Just hanging out on my computer, and I was downstairs for like the past, I don't know, 15 minutes. I was watching the Hawaii Bowl on ESPN. You know, there's really nothing else on. So that's about it. I'm good.
I don't even know who is playing in the Hawaii Bowl. I have no idea.
It's Fresno State and Rice. Coming to you live coming to you live from Hawaii.
You know, Hawaii, nice place. I mean, you know, not only just for the football game, but I mean, if you're gonna fly out there, play a football game, why not let it be in a tropical, beautiful Hawaii? So
Absolutely. It's paradise on earth, but to say, it's amongst other places too, but you know, I've booked people to go to, but yeah, Hawaii is just, it definitely is, no doubt.
Being a tropical place, the New York Football Giants found the tropical end zone multiple times this past Sunday versus the St. Louis Rams. We discussed some of the stats on the postgame show. Eli Manning, 25 out of 32 for 391 yards, 3 touchdowns. Odell Beckham Jr. had 8 catches for 148 yards and 2 touchdowns. Rudy Randle had 6 catches, 132 yards, 1 touchdown. So let's just start with the offense, man, the passing attack. What was your complete thoughts as far as the air attack with the New York Football Giants, especially versus that Rams defensive line, defense as a whole?
I was very impressed. Very impressive. I mean, Eli was on his game. Odell Beckham was on his game again. So was Reuben Randle. We got the running game going on with Andre Williams. You know, offensive line did a nice job. Overall, I was very impressed. I mean, no one expected this. I mean, everyone thought the Rams defense, as good as they played all year, you expect them to be in the offensive huddle with us. And they weren't. And so we just tore him a new one, basically. So I mean, I was very impressed with this with this showing. I mean, it shows me that the team is not quitting, and that's always a good sign. And that's what I never want a team to do. I never want a team to quit and pack up their tents and just say screw it next year. You know, that's it. So I was very impressed. So that's basically about it. So good game played by us. Good showing.
I'm impressed with you with Eli for almost like 400 yards. Do you can keep
I do not understand you, Steve. You're breaking up really bad.
Hold on. Let me see. Can you hear me now?
A bit better, but not great. Still breaking up. I don't know what's going on.
I have no idea what the technical difficulties on my end. I do not know. Let me try something real quick. Hold on.
Okay.
How can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Much better.
Okay, now go ahead and just spin your thoughts. I was just asking the question, Eli Manning, his performance, if it can get up going into next year.
Hopefully he keeps it up, but he's definitely in the walk year of his contract, so I would definitely consider bringing him back. I mean, you know, because if you don't consider bringing him back, that means you're going to have to go quarterback first round in next year's draft. So that wouldn't be a very smart decision. So I would definitely entertain the thoughts about bringing it back for next year. Maybe 2 years, max of three, basically what I've been saying all along, at a reduced salary because he's on the wrong side of 30 years old. And he's getting up there in age. He's 33 years old now. So next year he's going to be 34. So he's really getting up there. You know, so it's about time we start bringing in a new quarterback to take over. I mean, I don't think it's going to be Ryan Nassib. I think it might be somebody else. So I would definitely entertain him bringing it back next year. But overall, outside of one really bad game which against the 49ers, you know, Eli has played pretty darn well. And probably, Detroit, too. But a lot of it wasn't his fault. You know, it's a team sport, football. And you can't just blame it all on one person. So I thought if I was to give Eli a grade this year, I'd give him a B or a B-. That's about it.
Okay. See, I wanted to get back to this game. I want you to expand on, you said it on the post-game show, and I don't think a lot of Giants fans, maybe if you're a football fan, you know, we all know exactly what we're talking about. If you could get into a little bit of that defense of the St. Louis Rams, the dirty hitting, the defensive coordinator, the history. I know there was a little bit of talk about that after the game, and I just want to get your thoughts to play on the field from that aspect.
When the fight broke out, first off, man, I can't believe this happened. But you know what? That's just typical Jeff Fisher, Greg Williams football. They play borderline dirty, if not definitely dirty. You know, they're definitely a chippy bunch. They're definitely they're taking their shots at us. And when Alec Ogletree tackled Odell Beckham Jr. like way out of bounds, I mean, then after that, it was on like Donkey Kong. I mean, I'm surprised Odell basically pretty much kept his cool. I thought he was going to kick Ogletree right where it hurts, and he didn't. So, the fight broke out, the melee happened, and Jeff Fisher's saying to the media, the Giants better look in the mirror before they criticize my team of being dirty. Well, Jeff, when are we ever dirty? The only time the only team is dirty when you coach them is you. So the blame is on you. It's not on us. Tom Coughlin doesn't coach dirty. You know, you do. So I don't know where this crap is coming from. I mean, Fitch is a big baby is what he is. He's a big baby. And, you know, two of our guys got ejected. Originally it was three, but then it went down to two. And only one of their guys got ejected, and Alec Ogletree from the Rams gets to stay in the game. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? I mean, every time Jeff Fisher plays us, it's just a chippy, chippy game. I mean, they figure by playing dirty like that, well, get us all undisciplined, get us out of our game. And we had a lot of penalties this game. We did. But that's Jeff Fisher's tactic of us of trying to win a football game. You know, if you can't win clean, win dirty. You know, that's what he did. So Jeff Fisher's a jerk. He's a good coach, but he's a jerk. He's a real jerk. He really is. You know, but we gave him a spanking on Sunday. So you reap what you sow in life. So what comes around goes around. So I could kill us, but the Rams are not kill us. But really, Jeff Fisher, Jeff is a jerk anyway. You know, he's a good coach, but he's a jerk. But that's about it. You know, it's just dirty, dirty football. You know, I don't like it. I mean, there's no need to be like the Oakland Raiders of the '70s. There's no need for it. you know? And even Jeff Fisher said at halftime, like, oh, there's no place for that in our game. Oh, really, Jeff? Then how come your team is the one that started it? Don't give me that crap. Ugh, God almighty. That's about it, really. That's about it.
Well, here's my thing with the New York Football Giants. Great points as far as Greg Williams, Jeff Fisher. I never really looked at Jeff Fisher as a dirty coach or a dirty playing coach. I know we all know the history with Greg Williams with Brownie-gate, and that's become to expect it.
Right.
Now, also, let's keep in mind, now, Odell Beckham Jr., for whatever it is, I don't know why, maybe because the whole news about him being, you know, lighting up the league as being one of the most offensive threats, best offensive threats since he stepped onto the scene. And,
right.
he does get a little flashy. We can't, as Giants fans, we can't, you know, he shows it on the field. You know, he shows out, he celebrates. And then, you know, as the NFL, this is a testosterone sport. You're not going to show me up. I'll show you. And I think a lot of that has to do with that. Now, I know you saw the back and forth between Coughlin and Beckham Jr. on the sideline. And, you know, this is not how we do things. What was your thoughts as far as Coughlin's influence Beckham Jr.? Because, you know, after that bomb he caught late in the third quarter, you know, he didn't do anything silly or any silly dances. He kind of, you know, he just hands the football to the ref. Did you pick up on that aspect of the game between Odell Beckham Jr. and what was said to him after he spoke with Coughlin?
First of all, Tom's doing a great job with him. Coaching him, saying, yeah, that's not how we do things around here. And I think Tom read Odell a quote on how to deal with success, and Odell's response was, "Stay on me, coach." So you got to love that. So as far as when Odell caught that 30 or 40 yard bomb or whatever that was from Eli straight down the field, he was so wide open. I mean, my goodness! And Odell doesn't drop any passes. You know he was taken to the house. I don't remember any. Him celebrating at the end of that touchdown anyway, and I don't really care. I was just so amazed that he was so wide open. He caught the ball, and he just took it straight, you know, straight to the end zone for a score. So, Odell's got a few things to learn, but he's mature behind. He's pretty much matured beyond his year, so I have no worries about this. He'll be fine. He'll be fine. So, well, it's a good thing for Tom to stay on him. You know, keep coaching him, and just don't get too crazy out there, you know. It's good to have fun, have a good time, but don't get too nuts on us, you know. But that's about it. So
yeah, the unsung hero, nobody's mentioned it since, you know, in the media, and they never will. But the Bleep Blue Show, we will give our game balls, you could say,
right,
to the following. And we know the stats, but we have to give game ball to the offensive line.
Right.
It would be a crying shame if the Pro Ogre Committee, yourself, myself, be on this platform week 16 after the game, not to give game balls to the offensive line. They'll get it first before I give it to Eli or even give it to the wide receivers, despite
right,
their amazing stats. So talk to the, you know, line, you know, position by position if you want. The performance of the offensive line versus the defensive line is probably top five in the NFL. And I was actually so shocked that that happened, that they did what they did versus the Rams' defensive line.
Right.
What's your thoughts as far as the offensive line performance?
I was shocked they played that well, too. I mean, they played very well. I know Beatty had a lot of penalties, holding penalties and whatever, that nullified some drives and put us in a bad down and distance. But I thought Beatty played all right, even though I'm not a big fan of him. Richburg is Richburg. J.D. Walton did the job. John Jerry did the job. Justin Pugh did the job. So they all played very well. I mean, how they maintained that and basically staved off that Rams front seven. I don't think Eli was really sacked. I mean, he did not throw a pick. So
He had one sack.
Okay, so
yeah.
All right, so Eli was basically, quote unquote, kept clean the entire game. You know, he just got sacked once, and I don't know how many times he got knocked down or pressured. But the numbers he put up, it just showed that he was just ripping the Rams' defense apart, just ripping them to shreds. And I thought it was going to be a real tight game, like low scoring. And, you know, we just did our thing. So, yeah, some major props to the offensive line, even though I don't like this offensive line. But they did the job. So, yeah, I would give them game balls. I would. And I also give a game ball to Reuben Randle as well. Reuben Randle had a very nice game, as well as Beckham Jr., as well as Andre Williams. So, basically, yeah, offensive line first, get the game balls, no doubt, and everybody else who contributed. So, good job, guys. Good job.
Is there anybody in the offensive line in particular that you were proud of more than the other? Is it Richburg? Is it John Jerry? Is it Pugh? Is it anybody that really stood out for you on the offensive line? Or just the unit as a whole just played well, you know, together? But if they had a pick one lineman, I mean, is there anyone who showed out more than the other, or they just played as well as a unit, in your opinion?
They just played well as a unit. I can't single any person out. No, they really played well. You know, if they only give up like one sack for the entire game, then, hey, that's pretty darn good. So, I mean, that's going to happen in the NFL sometimes. Offensive line's going to slip up, going to miss a block, and the quarterback's going to end up eating dirt. So, but as long as it doesn't happen a lot during the game, then you're good. I mean, you give up like maybe one or two, then you're fine, or maybe three. But just don't make a bad habit out of it. But answer your question. Everyone played well as a whole. I can't single any person out who stood out head and shoulders above the rest, because really no one did. Everyone played well equally. You know, Beattie had the penalties, but hey, if Beattie had the holding penalties, Eli would have probably gotten killed. So I'll probably take the holding penalties rather than seeing my quarterback getting killed. So that's about it.
Yeah, and I said this before about Eli Manning. You touched on his season. You gave it about a B, B minus, I think you just said. I feel this goes back to how complex the Gilbride offense was, the run and shoot variation of it under the New York Giants. See, this is why we can't really – Eli Manning is a very unique athlete in the New York market because – he has very highs. He has highs. Then he has lows. You know, his performance. So, the West Coast offense was designed to limit a lot of the issues we have on the offensive line. It was a new direction. You know, the offense he's been under for such a long time since he came into the league that I feel that he's on the same playing level with a lot of players in the NFL quarterbacks who are operating under such similar offenses. Because I feel that if the same quarterbacks in the NFL were running the Gilbride offense with the same personnel Eli had, I mean, how bad would this stats just be as Eli's was? You know what I'm saying? Because when you compare, it's easy to compare quarterbacks because if all you're looking at is statistics, okay? But if you really put these other quarterbacks in the same situation Eli has been, I mean, how really well would they fare off, you know? That's kind of how I look at it.
Right.
How would Brady or Aaron Rodgers or Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees, any of them, if they were to be in the Kevin Gilbride office with the core wide receivers Eli's had with Reuben Randle, who's not running the right option route down the field in the Gilbride office, or a disgruntled Hakeem Nicks. I mean, how bad would these other quarterbacks be if they were operating in the same way? I want to get your opinion on it. This is a serious question.
I wouldn't know. It depends if they can scramble or not. I know Bridge can scramble, so can Rodgers. I really wouldn't know. That's tough to say, but Drew Brees is not having a very good season this year. He's not having a very good season at all. And he's been in the same offense under Sean Payton and Pete Carmichael basically since he got there. So, and I think it was 2006 or maybe, yeah, since 2006 or maybe the year before. But I think Aaron Rodgers can have success in any kind of offense he runs. I mean, he's got mobility. He can move around. He can make plays with his feet. He can move around in the pocket and just not standing like a statue and take a shot from the ribs and be out for like 3 weeks. Brady, I don't know. Probably the same way, but it all starts with the guys up front, really. You know, if the guys up front can block and keep the quarterback clean, your quarterback's gonna, your offense can have success. So, like I said, I mean, I like the West Coast offense. I don't love it because to me, it's not New York Giants football as I know it, as I grew up watching it. So, hey, but it's working. It's something different. So I wouldn't try to fix it. I just you know try to you know, keep going with it, and that's mm-hmm. about it. But you know.
So how are we going to get back to the New York Football Giants football you've been used to seeing? I mean, did you not see a little bit of the variation with the power running with Andre Williams this past Sunday? What is it about the old school football you do want to see that you're not seeing right now is even as recent as the last game?
I don't know. Basically, you know, the West Coast offense has been a trend in the league since 1979, or probably even further back than that, when Bill Walsh was the offensive coordinator for the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, before he became a head coach of the Niners in 1979, when I first started watching the game, Giants football, as I know it, watching it as an 8-year-old kid in that same year, was basically is run the football, power running, strong blocking by the offensive line, and play action pass going short, intermediate, and deep to the tight ends and wide receivers. So to me that's Giants football. It's basic, it's straightforward. Here it is. Stop it if you can. So. But the West Coast offense, you know, it's a different breed of offense. You know, I like it. I don't love it. But, you know, it works for some other teams. It's working for us right now. It does have a success story. It does. I mean, it won Super Bowl titles for a lot of teams, for quite a bit of teams. You know, Green Bay to 49ers to boot. So, I don't know. I mean, that's basically my take on it. I mean, much more to say about that.
Well, I actually have one additional question. The reason why I ask is the West Coast offense. It's not that – you're right. I agree with you as far as, you know, running the football, getting back to, you know, ground and pound, and you want ogres on the line. I get that. You still can run the power football out of a West Coast offense. You know, you can definitely still do that. But
right.
You need the personnel to do that. Now,
right.
In order to get the personnel, we can't be going on 7-game losing streak in the middle part of the season and then all of a sudden get on a little winning streak, because that's going to take you out of the proper draft position to get the right guy to run, you know, pro ogres. I don't know your thoughts as far as the season itself. And this is kind of what the regime has been. You've had a couple of 10-win seasons here and there, but then you have these seasons where this is where it was really early on with Coughlin, where you would go 6-2 a couple of times,
right?
And then you tank. You like you go 6-2, and then all of a sudden you just drop off. You know, you
right.
just fall to the wayside. And then
right.
the last couple of years has been the complete opposite. You would start off terrible, and then you win. Like last year, you won a lot of games. But you won a lot of games versus some bad teams who were playing without their starting quarterback to be 100, to keep it 100.
Right.
Now, and this year, it's kind of like the same thing. When we played competition, we laid flat. And then now we're starting to win, starting to get our groove, but it's kind of like little too late. Now we're losing draft position to get the guys that we've been talking about on the last couple of podcasts. What's your thoughts as far as that?
Well, coaching failed us this year. Coaching failed us this year big time. That's why we're at where we're at. You know, it's like what Chris said. It's politics. You know, you got to play the old veterans, not the young guys. Or we would, we've been yelling and screaming about this all year. Play the young guys. Now the young guys are playing. Now we're having some success. And you can make the argument that, oh, well, we're playing bad teams. I still don't think that Rams team was a bad team. I think we came prepared to play on Sunday. And we just came in, we just kicked their rear end. So I think it's because we played the young guys because they're hungry and they want to play and they want to win. So compared to these old guys, we have a team that shouldn't even be here. Now, I've always said it's a players' league first. But this year, it's been a problem with both. I mean, not only a lot of these veteran players, quite a few of these veteran players failed this year, but a lot of the young guys failed as well. You know, like the Kiwanukas, the Colin Jenkinsons, the Mike Pattersons. You know, John Beeson got hurt. Who else on offense?
Jeff Schwartz.
Jeff Schwartz gets hurt. John Jerry stunk. Same thing with J.D. Walton. You know, I mean, but finally, yeah, it's starting to pick it up now. But yeah, it is too late. But as far as losing a draft position, I don't care about that. I mean, I always say you can still find a great football player in any round of the draft, no matter what your draft position is, whether you're in the top, you're in the middle, or you're on the bottom. I mean, look at New England. I mean, they're always picking near the bottom. They always find great players. They go out and they find them. So we had a great draft this year. We did. We really did. The win-loss record does not reflect that, but we did have a great draft. We really, really did. And next year, we got to do the same thing. So draft position means nothing. It's not where you select. It's who you select. So you got to do your homework. You got to do your full research on these guys. You know, you can't just pick any old body. You know, just because they look good in a pair of gym shorts. You know, I mean, I always go back to reference Mike Mayock, NFL Network, and when he talked about Russell Wilson, when Russell Wilson came to the league, and he said, Russell Wilson, I want that guy on my team because he's a winner. And he's going to look and do much better on Sunday afternoons and Sunday evenings than he is in a pair of gym shorts. And he's right. He's right. And now Seattle Seahawks got the number one seed in the NFC. They're going to have home field advantage throughout the playoffs again, it looks like. Except we have to see what happens in this upcoming Week 17, the final week of the season. But it doesn't matter where you select. It's who you select. So draft position means nothing. It means zero. You know? You don't play this game to get a draft pick. You play this game to get to the playoffs and win the Super Bowl. That's what you play this game for. So for all you Giants fans out there that want to play this game and just to get a draft pick, turn in your membership card. I don't want you. I don't need you. Go away. Get out of here. You're not a real fan. Take a walk. You know, get lost. That's my thoughts on that. Really.
Jason Pierre-Paul and Kerry Wynn, how do you feel as far as their performance? I thought they played a very good game, especially Kerry Wynn. He's just been sitting on the bench. Chris has alluded to that on the post-game show, just rotting on the bench because of business, because of politics, basically.
Politics. Yep.
Personnel politics. We'll call it that. That's what we're going to call it. Personnel politics.
Right.
And it's discomfort because we, on a Believe Blue show, we've seen this coming. We've seen this coming. We see these guys in training camp. We see these guys in the OTA. We see the capabilities of these players. And then finally they're getting their chance to shine because, like Sim said on the post-game show, they're hungry. I mean, are you delighted? Or are you just pissed off as a fan? Because I'm sort of like, you know, a lot of everything based on what I saw, how I feel, because we've seen this coming, and you wait for week 16 to do all this with the personnel. What's your thoughts as far as the defensive line performance, and specifically Kerry Wynn and his outbreak?
Well, I'm very glad that Kerry Wynn's making the most of his opportunity when he gets to play. But, yeah. Steve, we've been screaming about this on this show all season long. Play the young guys. Kerry Wynn is part of that. And now that Kerry Wynn is now part of that, it looks like he played a very good game because it's a good Rams team. that's just missing a quarterback and a little more running game. You know, Terry Wynn played terrific. I mean, he really did. I mean, he should have been playing all year long. That tells me Jason Pierre-Paul had a very good season as well. That means all they got to do is bring back JPP. And we got our four defensive ends. We have JPP. We'll have Kerry Wynn. We'll have DeMarcus Moore and Robert Ayers Jr. Those four guys. All we got to do is bring back one player who's a free agent, number 90. So that's it. We don't need any more defensive ends. We can finally send Kiwanuka packing. Finally. So, answer your question, I'm very happy about Kerry Wynn making the most of his opportunity. And, yeah, he should be playing all along. Absolutely should be playing all along. No doubt. But it is what it is. But it's what you said. It's personnel politics. It's BS. You know, it's like in high school varsity, seniors and juniors, the upperclassmen, got to play over the sophomores and freshmen. Like, come on, man. This is not high school football. This is professional. This is the NFL. You know, if the incumbents are not doing the job, then why the incumbents are still out there? You know, I'm kind of glad Kiwanuka got hurt. I don't want to see him no more. You know, I'm kind of glad he's hurt, even though we got 22 guys on the IR, which is another story in itself. But, you know, I just hope that Tom Coughlin and Jerry Reese, if they get a reprieve and they come back next year, say we win this upcoming week, week 17, we beat the Eagles at home, and we're 7-9 again. They're most likely they're coming back. So if they do, I just want those two gentlemen to learn their lesson. Learn their lesson from this year. Learn their lesson from last year. This can't happen a third year in a row. Because I'll tell you what, Steve, if it happens next year, 3 years in a row, and we're in the same boat all over again, you know, what I've been saying, same song and dance, but the same old band director, then you know what? I'm really going to scream change. I don't want them back at all. Because basically, in a way, I still want a divorce from this regime. I still do. But they might get another reprieve to try to, you know, right their wrongs. But they got to learn their lesson. They really do. We cannot go through this again. I mean, we just can't. I mean, get your head out of your butt. I mean, come on now. That's basically
all right. Yeah, let's see what Mr. Personal Politics got to say. What's going on, brother? How you doing?
The problem I have tonight, man, is that I can't even debate Joe Illegal because I believe everything he says. So, you know, I'm fucked here. I'm trying to debate the guy, and he's taking it. I mean, oh, God, where do we start?
Let's start. Chris, what's the matter?
The
cat got your tongue?
The cat got it. Some bitch got it. I don't know. It's just incredible. Listen, man. Listen. Shut up. But look, here's the problem.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, the whole nine yards. Oh, man. You know what? Okay. Coach Tom is going to be here another year. And he puts me in a bad position of that. You know, you never want your favorite homeroom teacher fired, but here's the guy that you know he's going to come back another year, so you don't complain about it.
Right.
Leave it alone.
Right.
End of story. I'm not going to say anything anymore. Even though I don't like his defensive gym teacher,
right.
I know I got to put up with it because that's his boy. Okay?
That could be a problem.
You understand where I'm going here, Joe?
Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
Okay. I hate it. He needs to go. No one's listening to him. He's not a good coach. He doesn't motivate me. He's not leading me in the right direction. He's not the right man for the job. But I know my homeroom teacher is going to recommend him. And when he recommends him, that means the principal is going to sign off on him.
Right.
And that sucks. I'm going to leave it right there. Like, just put that aside for a minute. Look, we're probably going to end up with a 13th pick because we're giant and we keep fighting and we keep winning. Yes, third year in a row without the playoffs, but hey, check it out. We won 7 again. We're going to beat this team on Sunday. Let's just cut the bullshit.
Right.
We're going to beat them, okay? Because they're defeated. And let me. Hey, I gotta give you something, Joe. Steve, I love you, man. I just want to say hi, but I'm really talking to Joe right now.
Go ahead.
Okay.
No problem.
Okay. The funny thing is, down here, the defeatist attitude is almost to hilarious division. I mean, we're talking about people that are walking around with their heads down. People are afraid to wear their Eagles caps. I'm loving it. But at the same time, I'm liking it, but at the same time, you can't love it because we're not there.
Right.
And it's really tough because we both hate the Cowgirls.
Right.
So it's kind of a quandary. But you know what? I do know one thing about our team, and this is what the show is all about. What needs to happen next year is Coach Tom needs to treat Ben McAdoo like Kevin Gilbride and trust what he has to offer.
Right.
There are at least at 13th pick, we can get our offensive tackle or we can get our monster lineman. Our linebacker. We can get them. We can get them. They're going to be there. And it's going to probably be a good pick, whoever it is. It does have to be best player available because we're not 20th or 21st. We're 13th. So that means we're going to get the guy we need, whoever the hell he is. Okay? So that's helpful and that's constructive. Okay? That's good. But this is also, this offseason is going to be the time when the coordinators are going to talk to the head coach and say, hey, look, this is what went wrong last time. This is what I need constructed this time. So there's going to be a point where Perry Fuel is going to say, you know what? I need a stopgap linebacker. I need a motherfucking beast. I need a guy on the right side who is going to just, he's got to have dual ability. He's going to be able to stop the run. He's going to be able to be a gigantic blitzer. He's going to have athleticism. He's got to run the 4.3. He's going to pitch that. And the offensive coordinator is going to say, look here, I need a left tackle to rock the goddamn world. And there's about 3 of them available. So I need to move Brady since we can't trade him. We can't get rid of him. We've got to eat his salary. I need to move him to right tackle so I can get the exact line that I need to give my quarterback 8 seconds in the pocket. And when they do that, it's going to be different next year, this time, on the Christmas Eve, when we talk again. It's going to be different. I think they're trying to find their way. In my heart of hearts, I think that this was a learning experience for all of them. I'm pissed off about it because we're only 3 years removed from a Super Bowl, and we shouldn't be in a rebuilding process, but yet I am optimistic that, yes, we can do certain things with the players and the personnel that we have. There are some people here. Devin Kennard, oh, my God. Why the hell? Why are we just discovering him in the 11th week? We can cry about it, but the truth of the matter is that we do have him, and everybody else passed on him.
Right.
So that's a good thing. Let's take him, for instance. Every Giants fan that I know in the world has been crying about Corey Washington, and including me, including you. But you know what? He'll be here next year.
Right.
That's okay. We got him. He's going to be here. Okay? The things that we have to concern ourselves with is salary shit. How can we get someone new to actually buy into our system if we're not willing to pay him? And it's hard to do that when Kiwanuka, does he have 2 sacks? I don't know. Tell me. Does he have 2 sacks?
I'm not sure. I'll be surprised if he has 1.
Hey, he should have these 2. I'd be surprised if he didn't. But yeah, I got you.
Kiwanuka totally did not show up this year after the reprieve and the love that the organization gave him. He didn't show up. He didn't.
That was a big mistake.
I didn't tell you guys in, but I'm sorry, he didn't show up.
Exactly.
He should have been the fucking leader. He should have been the leader of that fucking line.
Yeah,
and he wasn't.
Yeah, but if his player's not there, I mean, I kind of knew what Kiwanuka was going to suck this year. I already thought so. I thought bringing Kiwanuka back.
Well, you said it from the beginning, Joe. You said it from the beginning you have no faith in him. And
yeah,
I said, and I have disagreed with you, so I apologize to you, bro. I apologize to you. Because this motherfucker didn't show up this year. If he picked his clothes up from the cleaners, I'm shocked.
I mean, but like Joe said, are we really that surprised? Because this goes really bad to the training camp. I say about
No, Steve, I'm agreeing with you and Joe. I'm sorry. I apologize. I thought that he had it in his heart of hearts, having a brand new child, and you know the Giants organization bending over backwards. I thought that somewhere in his heart, he had some play there, and he did not show up. He sucked the entire freaking 15 games. He sucked. And he cannot. No, where are we going to trade him? We can release him, but we got to eat some of that shit.
Let's just eat it at this point.
Then release him because he's got to go. Because my problem is certain, and I'm going to allude to, because I've been listening for a minute, and I've got to allude to something that Joe brought up that's very, very important. You know, Jay Bromley, Devin Kennard, I can't think of everybody right now. For some reason, my mind is escaping. This is what happened when you turn 55 years, so look out, okay? Everybody that deserves some light didn't get it this year, okay? But they understand the offense or the defense. They don't. But they haven't been played because there's a goddamn system in place, which is wait your turn. It's almost like 1960s, going back to St. Pascal for me. You know, which is hey, you know, you may have some talent, but you have to wait because this guy that I promised, they have to play before you.
Right.
And
right.
You have to wait. So you come to practice every day.
Right.
Ready, you got your socks, you got your jock strap, you're ready to go, but guess what? You don't even get any sprints in.
Right.
You don't even get any light in. You're not promised anything. And then that practice is over, and those guys are tired, and you already evaluated them yourself. You looked at you said, you know what, I'm faster than him. Or I'm stronger than him. Or I could have done that before him. Or I can leap over that dude better than him. After you've done that yourself, you can't actually tell a coach that because you have so much respect. And you're a good athlete and you're quiet, you can't fucking pass that on. And so you go home frustrated. That's, I assume, Jay Bromley, Corey Washington, for a minute, Nate Burley, and Kerry Wynn must have been fucking gone star crazy dealing with this shit.
No doubt.
It's got to stop. It's got to stop. We've got a complete team here. Who's to say that, hey, you know, we couldn't have won more games earlier in the year, you know? Which brings me to another topic. Let me get it out of the way real quickly because, you know, I'm looking at the time here, and I came on late, and I apologize, fellas. But listen, let me tell you something else. I had to do some pondering, and I'm looking at our receiver core, and I'm looking at it, and I'm saying to myself, you know, the first game of the year, we faced a Detroit team that had the worst secondary in the league, and they still do. But but guess what? They won the fucking division. They're in the playoffs. Right?
Right, right.
Okay, then we faced an Arizona team, and there's a couple of things that happened there in a consecutive series. Victor Cruz drops two balls, and then the worst one, Randall. No. Randall beat the shit out of Patrick Peterson, who's one of the best cornerbacks in the league, beat the shit out of him, and then the ball made a mistake and hit him in the hands. Okay? And I'm looking at this shit and I'm going, what if in both instances, back-to-back games, JPP is in there? I mean, I'm sorry. Odell Beckham has been there.
Right.
And I'm saying, okay, that means 8 wins. Uh-huh. And I'm looking at this shit and I'm wondering, that means we could have been in the hunt. That means our chest would have been pressed out a little bit more. That means
right.
That would have given us a little bit more confidence. That means the coaching staff would have been a little bit more aggressive. That means when we have gone into Seattle and the Pacific Northwest, we went in as aggressive as we were, but we were unsure. But with fucking 4 wins on the books, we would have gone in with our fucking chest bucked, talking about, come on, Sherman. You know? Come on, what's his fucking face, the linebacker there? We would have came in there a little bit more aggressive. We would have been a more aggressive team. This would have been a 9 or 10 win team. So you can do all the and what I did was I went back and I said, okay, what did we have that we failed at? And I blamed the coaching staff, and then I felt kind of blamed the team, and then I said, you know what? It's a collective effort. We all fucked up at once. Okay, starting from minicamp when Tish went to Reese and said, hey, I don't want to see that shit again. And he panicked and he wouldn't got a whole bunch of guys. He was careful about it. In retrospect, he was, you know. And we did have a decent draft. Joe alluded to that. And then, you know, I look back at it and I'm like going, yeah, you know, there's at least 4 players that came out of there that look really, really good for us in the future, you know.
We had a good draft.
So,
we had a good draft, not a decent draft.
Very good.
Good draft.
Yeah, we had a really good draft. And so I'm looking at this and I'm like, okay, I know where the problem lies. It's the coaching staff and how they go about business.
Right.
So here's the thing. McAdoo needs a louder voice next year. He really does. Okay? He conceded everything. He didn't know what was going on. He came in here and he tried his tricks and he was out. Just put it this way, he was outvoted by a future Hall of Fame coach, head coach, that wasn't buying into him. Okay, and we know why. You know, Gil Brad left, but we know all that shit. Okay. Then we had about 22 player injuries, which I don't know if it's some kind of records or not, because they don't keep records like that. But I know it's incredible. Okay, you know, what if we had all those guys? You know, so that would have been something. Our special teams would have absolutely been impressive, actually. And so we didn't have what we had. But you know what? We still have the nucleus of a really good team. We are not quite, quote-unquote, not putting this in quotation marks. We're not actually rebuilding. We've got the pieces there. We got to put them together. And that includes the coaching staff. And once we get that shit down, we're back again.
Right.
We got a Hall of Fame goddamn quarterback. We got a Hall of Fame coach. Okay? We've got at least 1, 2, possibly 3 Pro Bowl players from defense. They didn't get there this year. That's fine. But also, going back to offense again, we've got a player that this motherfucker is extraordinary. He's not fucking human. We have to take advantage of that, okay? But without killing him, okay? And we got to put all of this together. We got to put all this together. And everybody from up top at the front office, from the ownership, all the way down to the goddamn ball boy. We always were saying, hey, including me, hey, let's get rid of all these motherfuckers. But wait a minute, why don't we all get on the same page? Why don't we all get on the same page and figure out where we need to go? Because Dallas does not deserve to go into the playoffs this year because they're not that good. You got a great offensive line, but
I don't want to defend Dallas.
Okay, wait. You are not going to get a defense from Dallas from me. Okay? You ain't going to get that shit.
Yeah, but
no, you ain't going to get that shit. You're going to get that shit. But listen, guess what? They're there, and we're not. And neither is Washington, who was supposed to. And look, this is how wrong I was. I thought Washington was going to make some moves and win the division, and that Dallas was going to win fucking 4 games. Look what the fuck happened.
Well, The opposite happened, Chris. And Washington's not competition. I knew Washington was going to suck. And Dallas,
I agree with Joe on that.
And Dallas is playing really good football this year. They're playing really good. So they really, all intents and purposes, they do deserve to be there. As much as I hate to say
that's
it.
Right. They do, Joe. They do, Joe. But my point is, if that's the case, then we should be on top.
Well, hang on a second. Well, bottom line, the reason why we're not is what Steve alluded to earlier. Personnel politics.
Absolutely. Oh, you're not going to get an argument out of me.
Personnel politics. It's got to stop. It's got to stop right here and right now. And that's why
It's Coughlin's way or the highway, man. You know that.
Well,
he has free reign to do what he wants to do. He's a 2-time Super Bowl winning coach, man. He can do what he wants to.
I know that, Chris.
He can call it how he wants to call it.
Well,
while I agree with the position, I also disagree with how he's handled it. That's my problem.
Well, I'll tell you
what.
I'll tell you what. If I'm ownership, I'm telling Tom, I can bring you back next year, but you're firing that defensive coordinator. If you don't, then guess what? You're not coming back either.
Then Joe, we're just gonna have to agree, because I agree with you. You know,
that's it.
I got
a question for both of you guys, because this is all related. Now, this is for both of you. Personnel, would you rather go into the season what Dallas did with the offensive line? They have done. They're in the playoffs. They're the division winner. They're undefeated on the road. That is impressive. I don't want to say that. The fact is they are undefeated on the road, including when at Seattle. Would you rather have a personnel with an offensive line that they have, or are you one of those guys like who take the hit this year, another 7-9, just to have a flashy player like Odell Beckham Jr., a player of that offensive caliber that the franchise has never seen?
That's not a good question, man. Come on, man. One has nothing to do with the other.
Yeah, well,
one has nothing to do with the other. And, you know, I love you like a goddamn step cousin, but that's
how it. Does it not? Well, how does it not? Because our draft, who did we pick in the first round? Who did they pick?
Here's the funny part. They picked Zach Martin because we didn't take him. That's why. Because we didn't take him. That's why they got Zach Martin.
Do you regret
that? And now he's an all-pro.
That goes back to my point. Are you content with the pick, knowing you're going to take the hit this year the way we have? Or would you rather have gone the safe pick and probably gone for the division?
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to go with the last part, the latter. I know I love Odell Beckham to death now. But at the time, draft night, when they picked him, I said, look, I'm a Giant. Giants need offensive linemen. And you fuckers let Zach Martin go by so you can pick another goddamn wide receiver? We have wide receivers. This is my thought process in July. We have wide receivers. Why are you going to pick a wide receiver? Don't do that shit. I didn't expect Odell Beckham to be Beast Almighty.
He was. And I tell you what, when Jerry Reese said it at the draft press conference, when he said, Odell Beckham Jr., this guy's going to be a real weapon for us, guess what? We can admit it now. He wasn't bullshitting nobody. He was telling
the truth. No, he wasn't.
He was telling
the truth. I'll react the question to you guys. Would you rather take the hit like we have this year to have an Odell Beckham then retool the offensive line going into the draft?
Yes.
Give it to Dell.
So you guys in Monday Night Quarterback, you guys are cool with the draft pick, Odell Beckham, knowing that we're going to take a hit.
I'm happy we have him. I'm happy he's a beast. And I know we should still build an offensive line. But I'm thinking along Giant lines here, okay? I want I have to get my dog. Get out of here. Go that way. I have to get – I want my offense and defensive lines to be perfect. That's Giants thinking. The only way we've ever won anything, anytime, any place, anywhere, is if our lines were solid. And and that's the Giant way. That's why we're called the Giants, as a matter of fact. The Lions, the lines have got to be huge. They have to be protective. They have to be intimidative. You know, he's gone now, but Rosie Greer had the best line of all time. Him and Andy Robustelli, they said, hey, look, if we didn't dominate, then we wouldn't have – there was no use – there was no reason to have a football team. And that's true. You know, we have to have – that's why the Giants are the Giants. You have to have great lines. And if you're faltering, you look – the first thing you look for in the draft is a great offensive lineman. But looking back on the 2014 draft, I didn't know. I knew that he was going to be a good receiver. I had no idea that he would be Michael Jordan of the receiving corps of the NFL in 2014. I had no idea. I didn't know that he was going to be a fucking lights out, unstoppable, superhuman motherfucker. I didn't know that. And here's the funny problem, the funny thing about it. I'm a draft nut. So I'm always looking at these guys. I knew Sammy Watkins was going to be the cat, but I had Odell third, man, because I thought that Mike Evans would be the best second choice. I had no idea that this dude would be somewhere on Pluto. He hasn't been stopped yet. The Rams tried to kill him last week.
Exactly.
And I just don't. And so did. And if you think about it, so did Washington. And so I'm caught up by saying. Part of me is saying, you know what, Chris? Shut the fuck up. You don't know what you're talking about. And the other part of it is like, damn, isn't this fantastic? You know. But I'm a Giant fan. And when you're a Giant fan, this often happens to you. Because you don't get beat. If you're a Giant fan, you don't get beat. You've got LT one time. You got and this is going back before you guys even were Giant fans. We had a guy named Rodney Hampton, who would have been a goddamn beast if he didn't fucking fuck his leg up. Well, Washington did it for him. He was another one. You know, and we have LT, of course, who's our all-time beast. But we don't get those guys. We get workmen-like dudes. We get Lunsfield guys. We get guys that come in and do their job, the Amani Toomers, the Chris Neves. We get guys that make the Pro Bowl just by doing their job. But we never get superstars. This fucking guy here shows up this year, doesn't even play the first four games. He's on some planet by himself. So I'm very, very proud to have him. And also, but here's the thing. He allowed us not to get the sixth pick of the draft. He's the one who made us actually put us in a position to where now we're number 11 or whatever. Okay? So you have to be happy about that. You know? And then while this is going on, Devin Kennard is showing up and really, really killing people. While this is going on, while that crazy, nasty game is going on, they put in a scrub called, a so-called scrub named Kerry Lynn, and he lights the field up. He lights the fucking field up.
All right,
and we still don't have Trendon Holiday. And we still don't have Walter, the cornerback that we got there from Seattle. And the possibilities are crazy.
Okay, Chris, 40 seconds out. We got to wrap it up now.
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. Sorry for talking too much.
Jeez.
I know. I fucked up. Sorry about that.
I go first.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
Tom's got to fire Perry Field. He wants to come back next year. And the personal politics got to stop. So with that said, very proud to be part of the show. Thanks to Dion, helping me promote my business. Merry Christmas, happy holidays to everybody. And all of our callers. Nothing and nothing.
Right. Hey, you know what? Mm-hmm. Merry Christmas, everyone. Happy holidays as well.
Yeah, happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Enjoy the gifts. Enjoy the NBA games if you're an NBA fan. And we'll see you Saturday morning for the preview show versus the Philadelphia Eagles. Enjoy, guys.
All right.
Enjoy. Because we bleed blue, that's why.
Right, bleed blue. Good night.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.